Well, if you came here for some fantasy advice, go to another podcast, as we are not getting anything done today. It's an Azer Herc show. This is going to be sloppy.
Yes. What'd you call it before we went on the podcast?
Oh, the Reject Show.
The Reject Show.
No Scott. Scott and Al are both out this morning. Al's sick. Scott will be in the afternoon for the video show. So Herc and I are taking over.
Yeah.
The inmates are running the asylum. And welcome to Fantasy Baseball today, everybody. Okay, we got the video show live at noon Eastern. Make sure you check that out. If you didn't watch yesterday's show, John Heyman dropped some good knowledge on us. He said that Jay Happ might get the call up instead of Marcus Stroman, so keep an eye on that. Email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and put podcast or baseball podcast or grade the trade in the subject line. Do want to get to some emails later. Herc, it's the first day of May.
Yeah, should we just play like the Herc Love song, 45 minutes, and that's be the show?
Why don't you sing the Herc Love song?
Oh, I don't know. They may throw me in jail for like calling people to jump off buildings on that one.
We'll do the leaderboard. So basically, we're going to look at the top 30 at each position. We're not going to talk about 30 guys at each position, but I printed out the top 30 at each position, some points leagues, some roto leagues rankings, and we'll see just kind of what we think about the April leaders. We'll talk about Aaron Harang, Tim Hudson, Shelby Miller, Anthony Rendon, Starlin Castro. Let's get started. Quote of the day number one. Quote, "My finish is coming back. It's something that's more mechanical than physical. If I can have a high finish and long finish like that, the ball will have more carry. Really, it's the basis of my swing. If I have a good finish, I have a good swing. So it's really what I focus on." That, sir, is Adrian Gonzalez talking about his swing now that he is more than 3 years removed from shoulder surgery. Dane Perry wrote a good little blog entry on this on our website on cbsports.com. And I read it this morning, and it was interesting. I've been saying sell high on Adrian Gonzalez. He's hit a combined 40 home runs and slugged around 460 last 2 years. And right now he's killing it. So his home run to fly ball rate is exceptionally high, 27.6%. But it was over 20% in 2008, 2009. He hit 36 home runs and 40 home runs those 2 years. Where are you on Adrian Gonzalez? Are you buying this that maybe the shoulder is finally healthy, the swing is back, and he can be a 35-homer guy again?
Yeah, you know, we need the godfather of Babe up here for this because we pull out the sabermetric stats here. But speaking of Will, the godfather, would you believe me, Al, and Scott haven't seen the godfather?
I heard that actually the other day.
And you've come to accept the terms now? Or
I'm telling you that. The movie is so good. You need to see it immediately. It is one of the few movies that lives up to the hype.
We're going to have like a fantasy outing just so like we can all watch it and then talk about it. But getting back to
I don't think I want to do that. How about Adrian Gonzalez?
Yeah, Adrian Gonzalez. You know, we talked about this before in the show how he said he switched his approach kind of this offseason. He wanted to be more patient. And I think that's really...
But he's not doing that, Herc.
I know, but he's
swinging a lot. Because he's getting a lot of strikes thrown his way, also in Dane Perry's entry.
Yeah, I just think the whole thing, too, is, you know, it's good to have Matt Kemp back as well. But, you know, changing your approach, I think it opened his eyes to other things, and maybe he doesn't have to take as many walks as he did. I am buying it just for the fact that he has a track record. He's still not overly old. I mean, look what Albert Pujols is doing. So, I mean, these guys that produced in the past, you know, you look at the numbers and you could say things like, oh, you know, his home run fly ball rate is 15% higher than it should be. Sometimes these anomalies happen every year, and this could just be one of those years where, you know, you're expecting Adrian Gonzalez to revert to the norm, but he's never going to do it.
Are you calling him an elite first baseman?
Because he's back to being a number one option, absolutely.
Well, number one, obviously he's top 12, but is he top 5, you know? Like, is he ahead of Hosmer now? Is he going to be ahead of Pujols, Freeman?
Well, he's always been, I think in my rankings, I've had him above Hosmer. I think he moved Hosmer down a little bit. I mean, he's not top five. There may be seven, eight other guys I'd rather have over Adrian Gonzalez, but he's making his way up the rankings.
Because, I thought he was a guy on the decline. You just look at the last two seasons, and he's just not a huge power hitter anymore. But if you're buying that it's back because the shoulder's healthy or whatever, then
it's just like
obviously he's better than what I would think.
You put Yasiel Puig and Matt Kemp around him in the lineup. I mean, you have to attack somebody in that lineup. And right now, like you said, they're going after Adrian Gonzalez, and Adrian Gonzalez is like, hey, I'm still good.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm buying 35 home runs, though. I mean, he had 40 in the last 2 years combined.
I can see that. Maybe 25 to 30 is a little more realistic.
Big difference, Herc. All right, quote of the day number two. Aaron Harang said, They were all hitting like Ted Williams tonight. That's what Aaron Harang said.
Hey, maybe you were pitching like Steve Traxel or Anthony Young. So
that's what I was thinking. He's 89% owned. He was started in 78% of leagues and had a terrible outing. Gave up 9 earned runs in 4 2/3. Harang had allowed 3 earned runs in his previous 5 starts. Would you give up on Aaron Harang?
You know I've been saying this for weeks now. I'm the trade Aaron Harang, dump him off your roster any way possible, get rid of him. I mean, go look at his night and day stats. He's been perfect in the day and night. He's been terrible in his previous 2 night starts. He walked a lot of batters, but he faced the Mets. And the Mets are such a schizophrenic offensive team. You know what's going to happen. You know, the Marlins, you know, didn't do well against Harang last week. And, you know, this time Harang was blaming it on that. You know, they were hitting everything. No, Harang, you're just not that good of a pitcher. So,
all right.
Give the Marlins credit, all right? They learned.
Stat of the day, number one. Zach Greinke has gone 18 consecutive regular season starts, allowing 2 runs or fewer in 5 innings or more. And that is the longest streak since 1914. That's 5 innings or more, 2 runs or fewer. And that was from the AP recap from last night's game. Yesterday, no earned runs, 1 unearned in 6 innings with 6 strikeouts. And he is striking out everybody. He's got 46 Ks and 35 and a third. Remember, Greinke last year had a 2.63 ERA and 15 wins, but only 148 Ks in 177 and 2/3. So I went back, Kirk, and looked at Greinke's K rate. Throughout his career, it's been kind of all over the place. Like, really good years, really bad years. It's been on the decline lately.
Sure.
But based on his track record, he's been a little bit of an inconsistent ace, whether it was for, you know, anxiety.
Yes, and, yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Social back when he was, disorder, yeah.
Back when he was in Kansas City. It's just kind of been all over the place with the strikeout rates. No way he's going to strike out, you know, like 11 per 9 or whatever, but...
He's doing his best at Clayton Kershaw impersonation.
Do you think he's this good, or would you try to sell high on Zach Greinke?
No, obviously, I think coming in the season, all of us had Greinke like around top 15 starting pitchers, so we all felt he had great potential. Strikeout rates are nice. You know, everyone wants those. That's what you think of an ace pitcher. He's never going to be top, I don't know, 7, in my opinion. But right now, I think he knows the pressure's on him while Kershaw's out, and he's pitching really well. He's a good number 2 guy, in my opinion, for a fantasy rotation.
Would you give him up right now for Madison Bumgarner?
Would I give him up for Madison Bumgarner? You know, that's tough because I don't know what's wrong with Bumgarner. I mean, this is amazing.
Nothing's wrong with him.
You think it's just a bad start?
Yeah.
Maybe starting opening day got to him a little bit and he was a little overhyped and he can't.
Just a couple of bad starts.
I would do it because right now, if I'm the Greinke owner, I have the upper hand. Bumgarner, and they'll have to throw in something else, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
So
I would do it straight up, though.
I mean, yeah, actually, you know, we all know what Madison Bumgarner's capable of.
Stat of the day number 2, Jose Bautista tied Fred McGriff's Toronto record for walks in a month with 30 walks this month. He is the number 2 outfielder in points leagues, number 5 in Roto. It's Jose Bautista. And Joey Votto second in baseball with 24 walks. So pretty good stuff there from Jose Bautista. You're the man, especially in those points formats. All right.
I got Jose and Jose on my team, and they've been carrying me in a lot of formats. So
that's good. Gosh, my teams have been so bad, Herc. The only good one, well, my 2 points league teams are 2-2, so whatever.
Do you know what? I'm sorry.
Our categories league team is killing it.
Oh, well, except this week. We're getting destroyed.
Well, look, our hitting is so depleted, but we can make it up in pitching.
Hopefully,
close in pitching.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say my Roto teams have been horrible. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say, though, I wish Scott was here, but the last video you and Scott did, and Al, for our drafts or whatever, you ripped my last head-to-head points team, and I'm leading that league, and I have the most points in that league. It is awesome. You guys didn't like that I went pitcher-heavy, and you were, like, my bats, I had a lot of, like, sleepers and bounce-back candidates.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Today head-to-head
spectacular. Yeah.
And, all right, let's see your team,
And, you know,
I'm getting killed again? What the hell?
You know, I understand, like, what you guys were saying. Like, you didn't like my strategy with the bats. But, you know, I was confident that my pitchers would be there. And my pitching staff is deep. And my hitters have been pretty well. So, I like my team.
It's a good thing I started Robbie Ross yesterday in that league. Yeah. Minus 12 points. And everybody on my team got rained out. All right, let's see Herc's team, shall we?
All right.
Evan Gattis, Edwin Encarnacion, Aaron Hill, Nolan Arenado, Troy Tulowitzki, Eric Young, Austin Jackson, Hunter Pence, Mike Moustakas. That is some weak sauce hitting there.
Well, I didn't have Eric Young, obviously, on draft day, but I look at my bench. I had Alan Craig. He's on my bench right now. Oh. I should have put him in my lineup.
Fool.
And then there's another guy who's performing who's on
Cliff
my bench.
Cliff Lee, right, yeah. Felix Hernandez, Gallardo, Martin Perez, Michael Wacha, K-Rod, and Rosenthal.
And then look who's on my bench. I got Craig on my bench. I have Willie Peralta on my bench.
Cashner, Yelich, yeah. Middlebrooks. Well, look, with Martin Perez and Gallardo, you kind of have hit the jackpot so far.
I picked Perez off waivers, but Gallardo, I mean, I don't understand. You know my stance on Gallardo being a huge, huge option in points leagues, and he hasn't disappointed.
Yeah, that's a good team, Herc. So. Congratulations.
Thank you. I just wanted, you know, that keeps me up at night. I play that over and over in my head, like Scott and Adam ripping me, so it keeps me motivated.
Well, I'm sorry. I think if you have Aaron Hill and Nolan Arenado.
But Aaron Hill walks, and he gets on base. And, I was big on Arenado coming in this year being a breakout player. So, I mean, another one of those guys that, yeah, if he's not doing well, my team's not doing well. But
let's talk about Wednesday standouts, and then we'll do some injuries. Clayton Kershaw should be back by Fantasy Week 6.
Good news.
There's some other stuff to go through. Matt Garza left with a thumb injury. He's been terrible anyway.
Let's talk about Starlin Castro.
Let's do it. 3-for-4, 2 doubles, a run scored, and an RBI yesterday at the Reds. He is, I think, a top 7 shortstop right now. Only one steal, but he's batting .308, 4 home runs. And Castro, strikeout rate, you know, the walk to strikeout rate's good so far, but he's been a big-time strikeout guy recently. Last few years.
Yeah. You asking me buy Adrian Gonzalez as a top 5 first baseman? I'm buying Starlin Castro as a top 5 fantasy shortstop.
Okay, so let's see. Tulo, Hanley, Desmond, Reyes, Segura. Who's he jumping?
Oh, I think he could jump Segura, and if Reyes can't stay healthy, Reyes too. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, we were talking about Starlin Castro being a top 3 fantasy shortstop, and he had a really bad year last season. And now, you know, kudos to all those fantasy owners that, you know, missed on shortstops. And that's, you know, like, oh, maybe Starlin Castro will bounce back. You know, he was going in the mid rounds this year. He just says, look, I'm not thinking about it. He says, I'm going back to my old way. I've just played the game as I played it. And I think first year hitting coach Bill Miller has been, I got his name right, right?
Yeah.
I didn't say Muller.
Bill Mueller.
All right. So, you know, I think that combination right there, he's back in the right frame of mind. He even said it, to just go back to what he used to do. And that's when he had the top 5 fantasy shortstop potential.
Well, okay, you also have Zobrist, you have Andrews, you have Everett Cabrera, you have Brad Miller, you have Jed Lowry, you have Andrew Simmons, you have Xander Bogaerts, all ranked ahead of him right now in Roto.
Yeah.
So you're going to move Castro up in your rankings?
I'm going to move him up. I don't know where I have him now, but he's definitely 13th. Jumping in my – yeah, he's going to jump in my rankings. I like what he's saying.
You're buying that he could be top 5, not that he is top 5 now.
Right now, correct, yes.
All right. How about Anthony Rendon?
Oh, man.
Second baseman, third baseman here who came a triple short of the cycle yesterday. He is the number 1 second baseman in points leagues, number 3 in rotisserie leagues, only 23 years old, and hitting very well, .316 with 4 home runs.
Remember going into spring training, they were saying he needs to prove himself and he has to compete with Danny Espinosa for the starting second base job? I mean, they've both been really good. Give Espinosa his credit, too. You know, with Zimmerman out, they moved Rendon to third. But, yeah, I'm a huge Anthony Rendon fan, so good for him.
Would you rather have Anthony Rendon or Aaron Hill?
We had this conversation a few weeks ago because I was the Hill guy coming into the year. But right now, I mean, I think you have to go Rendon over Hill.
Like if I had Hill and you had Rendon and I offered you that trade, I give you Hill, you give me Rendon, you'd turn it down?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm a huge Hill guy. I mean, those are two of my favorite second basemen that I felt were highly underrated coming into the season. I'll take either one of those guys. But Rendon, he's a young kid, and when he was coming out of the draft, he had this kind of potential.
And Danny Espinosa, by the way, 18% owned. He homered and stole a base yesterday. I think you got to add him at this point, especially if you lost Kipnis. He's an option. Scott's mentioned it a bunch of times. He played hurt last year. He was terrible. But he's got homer steal potential, maybe not a good batting average for Danny Espinosa. Again, 18% owned. And I don't know what happens when Zimmerman gets back. I'm not there yet, but I don't want to see Ian Desmond continue to struggle while Rendon and Espinosa continue to hit well.
Matt Williams is smart enough. He will not.
Yeah. But if he, I mean, if he keeps committing errors and he keeps striking out and the other two guys are playing well, I'm certainly not saying he's going to the bench. I just don't want to see, like, three guys playing two positions or anything.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
That, yeah.
So, but look, Desmond's a great player. I have full confidence in him. Tony Cingrani, Herc, are you worried about Tony Cingrani? Look, the velocity was down. He's not going deep into starts. He has a 3.34 ERA. It doesn't look that bad, but 17 walks in 32 and a third. Are you scared as a Cingrani owner?
I'm scared on every pitcher that struggles because it's been the year of Tommy John. I mean, you're just waiting for this guy's got elbow problems or shoulder problems or something. No, I'm not going to say I'm worried just yet. Maybe a slow start. Maybe he'll figure out. He's still a young pitcher. A lot of these guys can't be Matt Harvey where, you know, they don't struggle at all. Jared Weaver was the same way at the beginning of his career where he was just dominant all the time. Not everybody's going to always be 7 innings, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts kind of pitcher. Let's see a few more weeks before we get worried about Tony Cingrani.
How about Shelby Miller? 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 1 strikeout. And he gave up two home runs against Milwaukee. He's got a 3.15 ERA, Shelby Miller, 21 walks, 26 strikeouts, and 34 and a third. I like him.
Yeah, me too.
But people are worried about the walks.
Yes.
Obviously, only 1 strikeout yesterday. Doesn't really make sense because I just think he has good stuff. Where are you on Shelby Miller?
You know, I want to hear your take on this, but do you think when they sat him last season in the playoffs, that affect his mentality?
It could have, but if it did, then he's a weak pitcher.
Well, see,
you know what I'm saying?
Do you remember when he was coming up through the minors and he hit AAA and he had some struggles then, and it was his mentality? I mean, they said, you know, he's not acting like a pro, and he even kind of admitted it, and he said, okay, I got back to the base. I think he's going through the same kind of thing of maybe he's pouting a little bit from that. Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong. It could just be he's a hard thrower that's having control issues. That's what hard throwers have sometimes. But I'm not worried either. I think this kid's got too much potential, and he'll turn it around.
Who do you like better, Miller or Cingrani?
Coming this season, everyone's riding the Tony Cingrani train, but, I mean, they're 1A and 1B to me.
Okay.
Sorry to take the easy way out there, but.
Tim Hudson, man. 8 2/3, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts against the Padres. He's the number 4 starting pitcher in fantasy. Where do you see him ending up?
You know, Al last week was like, this isn't going to happen. Sell high. Was it 2 weeks ago or something like that? He was a sell high guy. Yeah, I think he quietly gets the job done. He's like one of the best veteran pitchers ever. Even Greg Maddux at the end of his career just kept getting the job done. He's showing, you know, no ill effects from the broken ankle last year. I think he's going to end up as a top 30 fantasy pitcher.
If you could sell him like he is the number 4 pitcher in fantasy, it goes without saying. You sell him for Bumgarner or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question. But don't just give him up for the sake of giving him up, because Tim Hudson could be a guy that you're going to start
every week.
Yeah. It's good. And you got him so late, too. So
what do you think he's going to end up?
Yeah, I was thinking like around 30th.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I would rank him 30th in my rankings.
No, absolutely not.
It just because he doesn't have the upside that a lot of those other guys have. But I could see him just being like a steady guy who gets wins.
Yeah.
And it's hard to take him out of your lineup. Of course, he'll regress a little bit, but he's a good pitcher. You know, he's always been like a 3.30-ish ERA guy for a while.
I mean, he goes deep into games and points leagues. That's huge because, you know, you need the – especially if you get, like, 1 point per inning or whatever. He keeps hits low. He keeps runs low. I mean, he's not a bad pitcher.
No, he's not at all. And Brandon Hicks. Should we make anything of Brandon Hicks? He's 4% owned. He's San Francisco's second baseman. He has 5 home runs. 28 years old, Brandon Hicks, and career 166 hitter in only 151 at-bats over 4 seasons.
Yeah, it's just a good start. I'm not buying in Brandon Hicks.
So way behind Danny Espinosa.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, injuries, news, and notes, part one. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Dodgers, Twins, they're going to play doubleheaders today. Mariners, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, going to make up their games in June. We had a lot of rainouts yesterday. Clayton Kershaw, as I mentioned, should be back week 6. John Heyman reporting that Boston, New York, the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
Colorado, Texas, and Detroit among the teams interested in Joel Hanrahan. You know, people have asked us about Joel Hanrahan. when he signs, it's not like he's necessarily going to be a closer.
Well, so. Look at the teams. I mean, the Yankees don't need a closer. The Rangers don't need a closer.
Only Colorado, maybe, and I don't even know that they do.
And Boston, too, because of Uehara. He's already having shoulder problems this year, you know.
Oh, he's been back. He's fine.
Yeah, but you never know with that guy. So.
Yeah, but they're not going hammer. They got Mujica, and I think Tozawa is very good.
Sure.
I'm surprised that, like, if Uehara got hurt, I'd rather see.
Maybe they're just like, hey, Tozawa. You know, we didn't get the Joel Hanerman we acquired. Maybe one more time around the old block will be.
By the way, I'm looking up Tim Hudson's ERA. I think I was a little ambitious with the 330s. Lately, he's been more like a 360 guy. But over 200 innings wouldn't be a surprise. And the whips are really good. Look at his last four seasons whip, 2009 on. 115, 114, 1.2, 1.189. I mean,
he knows how to pitch.
188, actually. It's that's a really good whip there for a guy you're getting so late.
Yes.
Matt Garza hurt his thumb yesterday. Do you think he says he's going to be making his next start, but his ERA is 5 right now. You think Garza's overowned at 87%?
I don't think it's overowned because you know what kind of upside he brings to the table. Slow start. Maybe he's still, you know, working with LaCroix, trying to get on the same page kind of deal. I'm not concerned yet, but isn't that Matt Garza? You know, his ERA at times is really good, and then sometimes he's like goes through these droughts.
He's a streaky pitcher.
Yeah, exactly.
Aroldis Chapman expected back in 7 to 10 days.
Good news.
Yeah, Gene Segura and Aramis Ramirez expected back today. Ryan Braun still day to day. We talked about Anthony Rizzo slumping yesterday. Well, he hit a 2-run homer and he walked 4 times at the Reds, so that was good to see. Robbie Ray is going to start Tuesday for Detroit in place of Anibal Sanchez. You know, you can look at his numbers in AAA. He's got a 1.59 ERA. He's not striking out a lot of guys right now, Robbie Ray, but he has in the past in the minors. But he might just make one or two starts.
Yeah.
Because Sanchez could be back soon. He's only got a blister. Jason Kipnis not on the DL yet. They're going to wait and see. Howie Kendrick hit leadoff again for the Angels, and he went 1-for-3 with a second steal and 2 runs scored. So hitting leadoff for the Angels would be one of the most desirable spots in baseball.
Well, and, you know, he's a guy, too, that can get on base because he's such a good contact hitter. You know, we've heard that for years about Howie Kendrick.
And Brett Laurie day-to-day with back soreness and Willen Rosario improving, but he was out again yesterday. And real quick in the bullpen here, Rex Brothers blew a save at the Diamondbacks. The Troy Hawkins did not pitch because he had pitched Monday and Tuesday. I assume that's why. And Brothers gave up 3 hits and 2 runs in an inning. And Hawkins is, I think he's 8-for-8 saves.
I'm the only one in this whole fantasy department that's buying LaTroy Hawkins as going to keep. Look what he did last year when he took over Bobby Parnell. He blew 1 save in like 14 opportunities.
He's 9-for-9.
I call him the ageless wonder. Maybe he's just, again, another veteran pitcher that knows how to. He's not going to have a good strikeout rate, which fantasy owners obviously don't like. But, hey, saves are saves.
Yeah.
And he gets your points.
I don't care as much with my closers.
Yeah.
And Luke Gregerson struggled in his first appearance since April 26th, and Jim Johnson was good at Texas in a blowout. And how about the A's, man? Swept the Rangers. Now they got a 3-game lead in the AL West. They are damn good.
They have the right manager. I mean, even though like sometimes you get frustrated as a fantasy owner because he's rotating all these guys,
yeah.
But they just have a good lineup, and they have a lot of guys that deserve to play, and he figures it out.
18-10.
You know what the interesting
and
is?
They have a plus 59 run differential right now. It's amazing.
The other day, I don't know if it was this podcast, I saw in your notes you were asking about, is Derek Norris ever going to be a full-time starter?
Uh-huh.
And I was reading some of Bob Melvin's quotes, and he's like, I got a good thing going right now. You know, it's unfortunate he's the guy that faces left-handed pitchers, and, you know, there's more right-handers than left-handers. But, you know, that's keeping Derek Norris on the days he plays very productive.
Sure. I mentioned that run differential, just looking at this now. 59 more runs scored than runs against. What do you think the second highest run differential in baseball is?
I'm going to say 21.
24. Colorado.
Wow.
59. That's quite a start for Oakland. All right, Herc, get out your leaderboards.
Yeah.
I printed out points for half of these positions, Roto for the other. Let's start with points.
Let's just randomize it. Go. Pick a different position.
Oh, you want to start with catcher?
No, let's. All right. I'll let you.
Okay.
I know you're the host, so.
Let's go with second base.
All right.
Second base is first, and these would be points league leaders. Anthony Rendon 1, Dozier 2, Kendrick 3, Lowry 4. Jed Lowry 4, pretty good.
Yep.
Zobrist 5, Utley 6, D. Gordon 7, Altuve 8, Kipnis 9, Bonifacio 10, Kinsler 11, Simeon 12. Noticeably absent, Matt Carpenter, Dustin Pedroia, Robinson Cano.
Isn't this the most bizarre list
here?
I know so far.
Well, you got 30 names here, so just pick a few things that kind of stand out to you.
Brian Dozier. I was not buying the hype like Al and Scott were at the beginning of the year. I had him like 15th, 16th ranking second baseman. He hit for power, but his average is low, so I still am not sure about Brian Dozier. Howie Kendrick's obviously been a huge surprise. You know, we talk about him being a good contact hitter. Look at his RBI right now. I mean, he's 14. If he's hitting leadoff, that's probably going to decline, right?
Yes. I don't know what's going to happen when Calhoun gets back.
That's true, too.
You know?
He can move down. Buying Jed Lowry as a top five second baseman. I know he has shortstop eligibility, too. He was good last year. He's off to a great start this year. His biggest thing, do you remember, in the past was he couldn't stay healthy. He's been healthy for a long time, and he's showing that potential that we've seen. You know, going back to his days when he was with the Red Sox, maybe Jed Lowry is a lot better fantasy option than we give him credit for.
He's having an interesting start because Lowry's only slugging .429,
sure.
But he has 20 walks to 13 strikeouts. So that's going to help him a lot in points leagues.
Who do you want to talk about?
He's pretty good walk to strikeout usually, but he ain't that good.
Who stands out?
Well,
on this list
I just
to
think what's interesting about this list is how bad the elite second basemen have been so far.
Absolutely,
but I don't think I'd change the way I would draft. Like, I still believe in Robinson Cano. I know he's hitting a lot of ground balls. If you want to sell me Robinson Cano, I will take him. I value him as a top five player.
What about Matt Carpenter? I've seen all these trades where people saying they're getting Carpenter. I'm like, yes,
I like it. I mean, I think that whole lineup is sort of underachieved. Maybe they're starting to snap out of it a little bit. You see Alan Craig having a couple of good games.
Well,
Matt Adams homered yesterday.
Look at who they faced in April. They faced the Reds, the Pirates, the Mets. You know, surprisingly, all these teams have ERAs lower than the league average, which was 3.81 going into yesterday. They faced a lot of good pitching this month. So you're absolutely right about the Cardinals turning around.
Yeah, I just think a guy who had 55 doubles last year and he has two right now, I think. No, he has three. All coming fairly recently. Or at least two of them coming fairly recently. Carpenter will get it going.
Can I just take a quick side note since we're on the Cardinals?
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy owners, make sure Oscar Tavares is on your bench. I'm the only one who's thinking that he's going to come up earlier than expected. I mean, he is just killing the ball at AAA. Everyone talks about Gregory Polanco. Tavares has as much potential as Polanco, George Springer to make an impact this season. His primary position is center field. What's been the big weakness for the Cardinals? Center field. They can afford him every day at bats.
Don't say that about John Jay.
I know. I'm a huge
rule of the podcast. You don't want to insult John Jay.
Look, I'm a John Jay fan as the defensive option. His offensive potential is maybe good contact hitter, but that's about it.
I actually got to say something here. If you're in a deep league, John Jay's not a bad option right now. Looks like he's the starting center fielder. He's been batting second. I don't know if he bats second every day, but he's been batting second sometimes for that team. If he would just steal some bases, because a few seasons ago he stole enough bases to be fantasy relevant.
But
I don't think he's that much worse than Cameron Maben.
No, but John Jay is a fourth outfielder.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
Oscar,
you mean in fantasy or in real life?
No, in real life. He's a fourth outfielder.
He's a really good defensive center fielder.
He is, absolutely. I think he's one of the best defensive center fielders out there. But Oscar Tavares is a future all-star.
Tavares. There you go. Okay, last thought on second baseman. I have enough confidence in D. Gordon and Emilio Bonifacio to be worth starting most weeks rest of season.
D. Gordon, absolutely. You know, I'm the one who bought D. Gordon as 50 stolen bases the other day. Emilio, I'm still not convinced.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he'll regress, but I still think he'll be certainly in a middle infield league.
Sure.
And with the steals, I think he'll be worth it. All right, let's go to outfield.
All right.
Charlie Blackman's number one. How do you feel about him? This is Roto.
Yeah, I mean, give the guy credit. You know, you're playing him. How can you turn your back on a Colorado batter? I mean, he plays in one of the best ballparks for any offensive players.
Right. Okay, so
I mean, look at the rest of the list, though. Giancarlo Stanton, Mike Trout, Justin Upton, Jose Bautista, Carlos Gomez. I'm going to move Carlos Gomez up in my outfield rankings.
Dude, he's awesome. I'm so glad I traded Braun.
Shouldn't they move him down the lineup, though? I mean, they shouldn't mess with success because, obviously, they're playing really good baseball. But if he hits this many home runs, what are the missed RBI opportunities at the top
of the
lineup?
That's a good point. They need Segura maybe to hit better before they do something like that because they don't have a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's see. What do we got here?
Your boy Ryan Braun, man.
Yeah, he's a top, what, 8 outfielder? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Are you still selling, if you could?
I did sell him last week to Scott,
right.
And I own him in our league. So would you sell him? I mean, it's got to be a joint decision here.
Do you remember when I
yeah,
was
I would
my email?
Absolutely still sell him.
I mean, my email to you and Nando last week was, you know, I'd be okay if we stuck with him. I'd be okay if we traded him. I'm still in that boat that, you know, the dumb worries me enough where if we got a good deal, I'll take it.
Yeah. I would do it for Gomez again in a heartbeat, especially in a categories league. In a points league, you know, Gomez strikes out so much, whatever. But in a categories league where you're getting the steals, a roto league, I'd do that. Nelson Cruz is a top 10 outfielder. Melky Cabrera, I like. I think he's showing he's going to be a solid player. Not a top 10 outfielder, but.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to change my tune a little bit about Melky Cabrera, especially in a points league, because he's been, I think, over 20 points every week this year.
Rajay Davis is a top 12 outfielder.
That's not going to last.
Yeah, and the thing is, he didn't play yesterday. J.D. Martinez played.
And Andy Dierks is due back in June or something. So
I feel like they don't want him to be an everyday player. And he's played a lot, Rajay Davis.
He's just not an
everyday
player.
Not every day, but I feel like he's going to be a face of the lefties kind of guy.
Absolutely. I like Jason Worth up there. I think fantasy owners who, you know, were willing to take the risk with Jason Worth or getting the rewards and still, you know, injuries could be a problem, but as long as he's in the lineup, he should be in your fantasy lineup.
Anything else? What do you think about Michael Brantley?
You know, that's one I've been holding off writing about him a little bit because I'm still trying to figure it out. He's not this good.
Yeah, I've kind of struggled with him because he's 27 and he's gotten better.
Sure.
Last year was his best year, but it was like 10 home runs, 13 steals or something like that.
Yeah.
It was nothing special. And his highest slugging percentage is .403. I'll look up his numbers now just to confirm. And I added him last week when he got hot, and I dropped him this week for Mark Teixeira in a 3-outfielder league. In a 5-outfielder league, I would have kept Brantley. But in a 3-outfielder league, I'm not convinced yet. It seemed to me like it was just a hot streak.
Yeah, I think the torch is going to be passed from Brantley to Santana, and Santana's going to heat up, and Brantley's going to cool off kind of thing.
It was 10 home runs, 17 steals last year, and a .402 is his highest slugging percentage ever. That was 2012. Anything else?
No. I think we've covered the outfielders pretty well.
All right. Next position will be... Let's go to catcher now.
All right.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Points leagues. Miguel Montero is the number one catcher.
I can't believe that.
Number 7 in Roto. I don't quite understand why there's such a big gap.
No, you know what? And going into last season, Miguel Montero was the number one catcher. He had the down year, so he has this kind of potential, but not number one fantasy catcher.
One of my favorite draft picks, Herc. I took him so late in our 14-team league. He's one of our catchers.
Tyler Flowers was a good pick, too.
Maybe. That was Nando. I like Montero to be a solid number two catcher. Like, do you think he could be a top 15 catcher?
I think he'd be a top 12 catcher.
Okay. Yeah. Saltalamacchia, we talked about yesterday. Navarro's still been
pretty
good.
You guys talk about Carlos Ruiz?
Oh, you know what? I want to talk about Joe Mauer. Because he's not really doing anything, and he's still 6th in points. I wonder where he is in Roto, though.
That just goes
off to a bad start.
That just goes to show you coming into the year, everyone was like, oh, catcher's a deep position now. You can wait. I think this proves catcher's still not a deep position. I mean, that, you know, Joe Mauer's not having a good start, but he's still up near the top of the list.
The fact that he's off to a bad start and is 6th in points leagues is encouraging to me in points leagues.
Yeah.
But he's 13th in Roto. And the people who were worried about Mauer not hitting for any power and being a bad Roto catcher.
How come no one asked Joe Mauer? They've asked Carlos Santana, how has the position change affected you? No one's asked Joe Mauer, how has it affected
him? Because
I
think playing first base, we just sort of assume it's easy, and third base hard.
Okay.
That's just my guess.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the case. I think that's just kind of the assumption. Anybody can play first base.
It's a slow start because I'm pretty sure Maurer had good numbers this spring. So,
all right, you think he'll come around?
Yeah, I have no concerns.
Where do you have him in Roto?
I have him pretty sure number one in both Roto and head-to-head.
Or maybe, really? But now that you've seen a month where he hasn't hit for power, he has one home run.
Our rankings
and three doubles.
Scott reminds me all the time, our rankings are based on the fact that if you in a trade, who do you value more? And I can't say I value some other catcher right now over Joe Mauer. Joe Mauer is Joe Mauer.
But we kind of thought maybe he's playing every day, there'll be more home runs this year. But if he hasn't hit one in a month, the weather's been horrible, so maybe that has something to do with it. Like, how is he going to be that good in Roto? I get it in points, but in Roto, how is he going to be the number one catcher? Just because of batting average?
We have five more months left. I'm not ready to write him off after 1 month.
Okay. Anything else?
I mean, you know, Devin Mesoraco could be number one if he didn't spend so much time on the disabled list. That's an interesting one. No, you know, there's some names here that, you know, you could see a little bit of turnaround, like Salvador Perez. You know, coming in a year, he's
getting
out
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting out now.
So,
let's go to closers.
All right.
K-Rod, number one.
That's been a huge surprise.
These are points leagues. Jesse Chavez, number two, among relief pitchers.
Are you buying Jesse Chavez?
I'm buying that I'm starting him now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm buying that if he's out there, I'm picking him up. He is, and he's owning like 80% of leagues.
He began his career as a starting pitcher, and he didn't have good results. That's why they moved him to the bullpen, and took him a while to become a really good reliever. And now when Triple A, was it last year? He went Triple A for like four starts, I'm pretty sure it was something like that. And he did really well. And you kind of have that mentality of, did he figure something out? I mean, he could be legit. I'm not ready to write him off just yet. I want to see another month to see how he does. The yesterday's start was really good from Jesse Chavez.
Really good. All right, so let me just look at closers here and not the Sparps. K-Rod, Houston Street, Kenley Jansen, Sergio Romo, LaTroy Hawkins, Craig Kimbrell. Anything that really stands out to you? We go back a little further, go Soria, Papelbon, Axford.
Yeah, I mean, we've known, you know, Houston Street has this potential. Injuries again with that guy. so it's, you know, I'm not surprised he's up there right now, especially on a team like the Padres that plays a lot of close games. You know, they need him.
Yeah,
so that's been a good value. LaTroy Hawkins, we talked about him. Jonathan Papelbon. People, you know, he got off to that slow start, and he was like, people wondering, the Phillies worried about his decreased velocity. Obviously, it's not a big deal. Again, just get outs. That's all you have to do. You don't have to strike everyone out. Maybe he comes a contact pitcher, but if he gets the saves, who's really going to care?
The innings pitched are so low right now amongst the closers that these rankings, they don't hold much weight at the moment. All right, first base in Roto. Abreu, number one. Gonzalez, two. Pujols, Goldschmidt, Morneau. Freeman, LaRoche, Colabello, Belt, Napoli, Moss. How much longer are we going to be able to start Chris Colabello?
You know, we've had this conversation. What's going to happen when Willingham, Arcia, these all guys get healthy? Colabello's earned his way into the lineup, but so is Josemil Pinto. Are they going to move Kurt Suzuki out of catcher, who's, again, playing pretty well, too? The Twins lineup has overachieved this year. I think that's a big first-month thing. He's fantasy relevant until he stops hitting.
Hopefully that's not already happening. All right, what do you want to talk about in first base?
Paul Goldschmidt.
Okay.
He's had a quiet first month, but look where he's ranked. He's just become Mr. Reliable. Everyone wants. How many guys on this list have we talked about as far as like first baseman, and Paul Goldschmidt's still near the top of that list?
Yeah, that's a good point. He homered yesterday, so now he has four with 18 RBI.
Freddie Freeman. Is he going to finish the year as a top five fantasy first baseman? He's got a really good chance to. And for, again, a month where he had some, for 2 weeks, he was having like eye problems and he wasn't hitting all that well. And he's, what, the sixth highest first baseman?
Yeah.
Pretty good. I'm buying Brandon Belt. I think he's legit. I think you're not so sold on him yet.
I'm not sold on the power. The funny thing is the average is so low, but I expect him to hit for a better average, you know?
Yeah.
But he's hitting 254 right now. He's super cold. So I think he'll come around. Yeah, sure. I buy him.
Anybody on this list?
I buy him to the point where I'm happy to have him on my team.
Yeah. Anybody on this list, like low on the list, that you think
Well, Chris Davis obviously is way down there. Encarnacion's starting to come around. Matt Adams should hit for more power.
Miguel Cabrera is down at the bottom of this list.
I like Michael Kadire better than everyone else. I don't know where you are on him.
He's just a good veteran bat, but I'm not a huge Kadire fan. I'll trade him for anything.
I don't really have any interest in Lucas Duda or Ike Davis. And that's about it. I think we pretty much know what we're getting. Miguel Cabrera is the number 30 first baseman.
I know. That's right crazy, now. Right?
we go to Roto third
Speaking
base.
Of that, I've got a lot of trades saying, like, Jose Abreu, Miguel Cabrera, they want to trade Miguel Cabrera to get Jose Abreu. Would you do that?
Of course! Are you kidding?
Trade Miguel Cabrera to get Jose Abreu.
Oh, no.
No, yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah.
I'd rather have Cabrera.
Right, I'm telling people, don't forget Miguel Cabrera has third base eligibility. That's a
don't
huge...
Don't forget he's Miguel
Cabrera. Right, that's another thing.
It's one player in baseball I'd rather have than Miguel Cabrera, and it's Mike Trout.
So, right. So, the thing is, and I understand, and these are keeper leagues, a lot of them. I'm a huge
don't
Jose
care.
Abreu fan. Agreed. Miguel Cabrera, dual eligibility, his track record. I'm not trading him.
All right, third base in Roto. Josh Donaldson, Rendon, Arenado, Plouffe, Simeon. Go ahead.
Josh Donaldson going into the year, I was like, bust, bust, bust. Nope. Josh
Buying
Donaldson. Yep. Josh Donaldson has proven. He did get off to a slow start, but then he turned it around real fast. Yeah, Josh Donaldson has earned my respect. Go, Josh.
It's an exclusive club, Josh Donaldson. anything else here?
Yeah, I mean, Arenado, again, going in the year, he was my big breakout candidate. He switched his off, mechanics at the plate. And don't forget, this guy was a monster in the minors. So he didn't have a great rookie season. I wasn't ready to write him off at all. Surprised Trevor Plouffe, a few years ago, he did play pretty well. Then he kind of faded away, and you thought, hey, maybe he just had one hot streak in him.
David Wright will get hot.
Yeah. Aramis Ramirez?
Yeah.
Aramis or whatever you want to call him.
Aramis.
had to get some bad, pronunciations in on Thursday.
He already did with Yasmil Pinto.
There we go.
Don't worry about it.
The big thing with him was staying healthy. I mean, he's getting up there in age. Can he keep doing this? Maybe he's a sell-high candidate, but if you're stuck with Ramirez the rest of the season, that's not a bad option.
And we go to starting pitcher in Roto. Cueto's number 3. Hamill's number 6.
Nobody I have.
And what do you think, Herc?
Scott Kazmir. A few weeks ago, Al had him as I had him as my sell-high candidate. Al said, no way. I don't know. What's your take on Scott Kazmir? Because I can't figure him out.
Nah, I didn't like him going into the year. I feel stupid. He's pitching great. He's got good stuff. It's just a matter of if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
I think if he stays healthy, he's going to be a really good pitcher.
Yeah. Jason Hamill's, number 6 on this list?
Like, who would you rather have, Scott Kazmir or Tim Hudson?
I think Tim Hudson.
No, I'd take Kazmir.
I don't want to buy Scott Kazmir. He's the guy I don't want to buy into, but at some point, I guess I have to.
Why? You just think he's going to get hurt?
Yeah, I just think now he's still the perfect sell-high candidate.
Okay. But selling high on him is not Tim Hudson.
No, correct.
You
could probably get a pretty good haul for Scott Kazmir.
Yeah, I agree. I said I would take Shelby Miller. In a blog entry yesterday, I would take Shelby Miller for Scott Kazmir. I'd give you Scott Kazmir for Shelby Miller. I would do that.
Yeah, I would do that too.
Okay.
Sonny Gray.
What do you think?
I think he's legit. I think people need to buy into, he's a good pitcher in the minors, and he's on a team that's winning. You said 59 difference run potential, so they're getting him run support.
Sorry, I just want to highlight one thing. Michael Wacha is a little bit low in the rankings. He has been so good.
Mm-hmm.
10 walks, 44 strikeouts, and 36 and a third. He's 2-2. I think I mentioned this yesterday. Not many guys on this top 30 list have 2 losses. So I think that might be hurting him a little bit, but Wacha, I think, is a lot better than his rank. I don't know if he's a lot better than his rank, but he's better than a lot of guys ahead of him, like Ervin Santana, I would say, Jesse Chavez, Kyle Loesch, Scott Kazmir, Jason Hamill.
Mm-hmm.
Waka's awesome.
Yeah, I'm disappointed I didn't buy into him a little bit more this year, like ranked him over Matt Latos or anything like that, because he's proven to be just a phenomenal pitcher in just his second season.
And finally, let's look at shortstops in points leagues. Tulo, number one by a wide margin over Alexi Ramirez, who's number two by a wide margin over Jed Lowry. And then Ben Zobrist, D. Gordon, Hanley, Castro, Andrews, Rollins, Ibar, Peralta. And all the way down to number 28 is Brad Miller on my stupid team.
Number one on the list, Troy Tulowitzki. Are you trading him?
We've had this discussion last couple days. We talked about it on the video show yesterday. I would trade him. I would trade him.
I'm not going to argue with you. I think if you get a good enough offer, you have to consider it.
Yeah. Like I've been saying, like, I would trade him for Ian Desmond and someone really good. You know? Like, if it were Desmond and Bumgarner for Tulowitzki, I would do it.
You have to get it. What, Starlin Castro. Somebody offered me Starlin Castro and somebody else for Troy Tulowitzki.
No, that's not good enough.
I think that's a... you give me a pitcher and Starlin Castro, I would consider it.
All right, fine. I'll give you Greinke and Castro for Tulo.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't consider that offer.
I consider it all day, but would you do it? Would you do it? Would you say yes?
You know what? Here's what I would do. If you offered me Cliff Lee for Troy Tulowitzki straight up and I had bad pitching, I would take Cliff Lee.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah. But you have to have really bad pitching.
All right. It makes a difference to me, the format for Tulo. In a head-to-head league where you're playing every week, whether it's categories or points, I'm a little afraid of him because he's just so injury-prone.
Mm-hmm.
In a roto league, it's not quite as important. You know, you get the production. Because even if he plays 140 games or whatever, he's still going to be so good in your lineup. That said, he's harder to replace in a roto league because they're deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'd sell him just straight up for Cliff Lee. I would want two players that I like.
Well, but if you get, like, say, Cliff Lee and a scrub, I don't know, Brad Miller. Would you do Cliff Lee and Brad Miller for Troy Tulowitzki?
No, I don't like
you're not going to buy Brad Miller going to bounce back.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't I'm at this point, it's just like I'm hanging on to Scott's word because Scott's been so adamant that Brad Miller is good. But
he is good.
But he strikes out so much. How could he be good if he strikes out that much?
Kyle Seager, it reminds me a little bit of Kyle Seager, because Kyle Seager kind of raked in the minors and then came up to the majors and was inconsistent at the beginning. That's what I think of Brad Miller.
Even if Brad Miller is good, Tulowitzki is so much better than every other shortstop, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
He's better than Hanley, and he's so much better than every other non-Hanley.
I know, I can't convince you to get Hanley Ramirez. We're going to trade Braun for Hanley Ramirez.
Because I think Hanley is like such an injury risk, too. He's already banged up.
That's true, but... to me, he's playing for his next contract, and it's willing to buy into his buy low right now in Hanley to get his hot streak later in the season.
All right, well, those are shortstops. Let's finish up the show here.
With some emails?
Well, let's Nate Evaldi, 75% owned. Underowned?
I guess that's one of those situations where I'm speechless on this one. I don't know what to say.
He's got a 2.58 ERA, and he's striking out almost a batter per inning.
I guess in this instance, I guess I have to get on the Eovaldi bandwagon eventually.
Like, so. I would drop Matt Garza for Evaldi, would you?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Not really that realistic. You got to be in a shallow league. But all right, rank these pitchers. Drew Hutchison, who was one strike away from 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. But he gave up a 2-run double to Escobar, Alcides, and it ended up being 7 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs at the Royals. Hutchison, Zach McAllister, Kyle Gibson, Robbie Ross.
Hutchison,
no edit.
I'm sorry, Hutchison.
No, that's fine. I enjoy your spelling mistakes.
My thing with Hutchison is that his strikeout rate is good, and he was talking about how his changeup's really becoming a pitch for him, and that's the things you like to hear. He's well above all those other guys. I was thinking about Gibson and who's the second name?
McAllister, Gibson, and Robbie Ross.
Yeah, they're all bunched together, in my opinion. It's... Hutchison's
the best.
And then everyone else.
Would you drop any of those four, or how many of those four would you drop for Trevor Bauer?
I would drop McAllister, Gibson, and Ross.
But not Hutchison?
No. You're a Hutchison fan. So.
I am a Hutchison fan. I do like him.
So you like that I'm touting him?
I like that. Like, seriously, the final line doesn't look that good from last night, but if he had gotten Escobar out, it's 7 innings, 4 hits, and 2 runs with 5 strikeouts. And if he struck him out, it's 6 strikeouts at the Royals. So I don't think he's great, but I think I wouldn't drop him. Like, we dropped Odorizzi in our league. I wouldn't drop Hutchison.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing about Bauer is, you hear all these coaches saying he's different, blah, 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 blah. I just want to see more than one start at the major league level.
Do we know for sure if he's coming up yet?
We don't know for sure because Josh Tomlin's pitching pretty well, and he lost the fifth starter's job to Carrasco this spring.
Right. Okay, injuries, news, and notes, part two. Mark Reynolds started in right field for Braun, and he homered while Overbay was at first base. Melky Cabrera, day-to-day, he was hit by a pitch on the shin. The Angels are over 500 for the first time since April 1st, 2013. Tyler Chatwood was placed on the DL with an elbow injury. Jed Jerko off paternity leave. Jose Fernandez estimated he threw 30 changeups in Tuesday's start, which would double his previous high. That's scary.
Is he going to get to his 159 ERA that he's targeting?
Is that what he's targeting?
Yeah.
No. Is Kevin Franzen a better ad than Nate McClouth?
Neither. They're both terrible ads.
I don't know about that for McClouth. He can steal bases.
It's Nate McClouth.
Carlos Quentin nearing a rehab assignment. San Diego third baseman Jace Peterson has two steals. If you're in a deep league and you need some temporary steals, Peterson could be good for that. Angel Pagan was out yesterday with a knee soreness. Lorenzo Cain expects to begin a rehab assignment Friday. And Nate Jones still has not been cleared for baseball activity.
Well done, Adam.
I'm so out of breath right now.
Where's your water, man?
I need another analyst. All right, Nick from D.C. says, "Hi, Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm in last place in my 14-team head-to-head categories league, and I think I need to start making ground relatively soon. Trades in my league are hard to pull off, so at what point is it advisable to consider dropping some of my slow starters for the best of the waiver wire? Would you drop Jed Jerko for Marcus Semien?
Not a chance.
Would you drop Chase Headley for Will Middlebrooks?
Absolutely.
Would you drop Brad Miller for Jonathan VR?
No.
Would you drop George Springer for Duda or Deaza?
No.
There you go. Ben Harrison from the Metro DC area is in a head-to-head league. Points, 5 points for quality starts. I made a trade, and now I can add two starters. So pick two. Straley, Lincecum, Mejia, Keuchel, Nice, Morales, Quintana.
Definitely Jonathan Nice in a points league because he's highly underrated. Last 8 scoring periods last year, he averaged something like 21 fantasy points. Over
Hutchison or Nice?
Nice.
I agree.
So here I'd either go the two Mets, Nice and Mejia, or Nice and Straley.
I was thinking Nice and Quintana, but it came down to either Straley or Quintana.
Do not sleep on Dallas Keuchel. I wrote something on him earlier this week.
He's very uncomfortable.
Did I get that name right?
Yes, you did.
All right.
Of course, I just said it twice, but yeah. No. What were you reading?
Just that, he threw his changeup is his go-to pitch in April, and when it's been good for him, he's been as a really good pitcher. So if he keeps that going, he could be the real deal.
Here's a question from Jesse in Hagerstown, Maryland. Would gaining first base eligibility affect Nick Markakis' value? Where would he rank among first basemen?
He's not hitting for power anymore.
Would he rank ahead of Ike Davis?
As first base, you want power from that position. If Nick Markakis isn't going to do that.
So would he rank ahead of Ike Davis?
If Ike Davis keeps hitting like he's hitting, no.
So not even in the top 30?
Yeah, it's not going to make much of a difference.
Jeff says, Walter, Dude, and Donnie. You a Lebowski fan?
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
The Dude, man.
Not for me. I don't like it. I play in a deep head-to-head points keeper league, 6 keepers, pitching heavily weighted, deep benches. Would you drop Kyle Gibson or Colin McHugh for Andrew Haney?
Colin McHugh. I'm not a Colin McHugh fan.
Yeah, I'm starting to like Kyle Gibson less. Although the thing is, Gibson, just like Hutchison, was pitching well until the 7th inning, and then he gave up some runs. Gave up 3 runs in the 7th, Kyle Gibson. Or he would have had a really good line.
Yeah, Kyle Gibson was a top pitching prospect. Colin McHugh was not, and Colin McHugh was terrible until miraculously these two starts. Even his pitching coach, you and I talked about this, doesn't know what's going on.
Yep. And last one is from Mike in Oregon. I'm moving across the country in 2 weeks. You wouldn't do a 42-hour podcast for me, would you? No.
Adam's already dying with the
hour here. Yeah, I'm already out of breath. All right, well, maybe answer this question instead. I was offered Adam Jones for Joe Mauer and either Marco Estrada, Alex Wood, or Chris Archer. I lost Bryce Harper. I need an outfield bat. So I was offered Adam Jones for Mauer and either Estrada, Alex Wood, or Chris Archer. On the wire, Saltalamacchia, Flowers, Pinto, and Castro are there for me. Is this a move to make?
Why can't it just be Jones for Mauer? at a scarce position. Like, don't undervalue Joe Mauer.
This is the offer. First of all,
I would counter.
Anybody who would give up Adam Jones for Joe Mauer is insane.
Adam Jones is legit.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Right. No,
you wouldn't give up Adam Jones to get Joe Mauer.
Really,
Adam Jones is a lot better than Joe Mauer.
No, but catcher, that's what we were talking a little bit earlier about. I don't think catcher's as deep as people think it is. That Joe Mauer is 6 right now, and he's having a
but
slow
he's
start.
He's 13 in Roto.
He's clearly the best catcher out there. That's why, again, he's at the top of my
rankings.
I
would give up Estrada or Archer and Mauer.
No, if you have to make this deal, it's Adam Jones for Mauer or Archer, in my opinion.
Archer is the one you pick?
Yeah, because I think Estrada, I'm buying into Scott's love affair with Marco Estrada.
Adam Jones was another guy that I think is a major buy-low candidate right now.
Yeah.
He's hit 30 home runs each of the last 2 years. He has one right now. He's going to get hot. He's a really good player. He's in his prime. I would absolutely do this. I like him better than Bryce Harper, who you're replacing.
Yeah, I don't care for any of the catchers on waivers, so.
Oh, Castro. Pick up Castro.
Yeah, Castro's not a bad option, but he's, to me, he's like Jared Saltalamacchia.
Whatever, it's fine, but they're fine.
But I think you should go Adam Jones for Joe Mauer and see if they take that.
Well, you should try to give up less in a trade. I don't know if it's
that's why I'm saying Joe Mauer is equally, even if he's struggling right now, has the same value as Adam Jones.
No way.
Absolutely.
No way. Adam Jones, the second round pick. If you took Joe Mauer in the second round, you'd be laughed out of fantasy.
Is Adam Jones the number one fantasy outfielder?
Yeah. Absolutely.
No. Mike Trout's the number one fantasy outfielder.
Oh, the number one. I thought you meant a top 12.
Yeah, the number one fantasy outfielder.
No, obviously not.
Joe Mauer is the number one fantasy catcher.
I think that's very disputable.
Who's
Posey?
Yeah, okay. Maybe Buster Posey, but I think Joe Mauer, going into the year we were all high on Joe Mauer, it's one bad
month. Yeah, but just because he's the best catcher, it doesn't make him a better player than Adam Jones. There are a lot of outfielders that are better than the best
catcher. But you're talking about position scarcity.
You can still get Jason Castro, who's like a borderline top 12 guy. He's still start worthy.
Yeah, but you're talking about 1 to 12. That's 11 players in between him and Mauer, in my opinion.
I like Mauer, but
this is a good debate.
It's hard to get power. I mean, Adam Jones is probably going to hit 20 more home runs at least than Joe Mauer.
Yeah, I think Adam Jones. Everything you're saying about Adam Jones is absolutely correct.
Longest podcast ever. That's because we're the rejects. Adam Hazer and Michael Hercombe. Thanks a lot. We're back tomorrow with Scott Now.